Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of You Enjoy Life. I hope you're doing well. It feels like we haven't talked for a while, even though I recorded a couple episodes that just never made it out. There were good content, good episodes. I don't know why I didn't put them out. Sometimes I'll do an episode and then I'll get sort of distracted or sidelined midway through, and I'm like, oh, I'll just go back to it and I'll finish it. But what I found is it can be challenging in this format to like have this sort of stream of consciousness and then go back and sort of pick it up. So oftentimes I just kind of scrap it, and maybe it'll be an archive episode, who knows. But it's great to be back here, great to be chatting. Feeling pretty chill today. I've been working on a lot of music. It's been awesome having my album release. If you haven't got a chance to check it out, I hope you do. You and the Everybody Band, it is. It's on Spotify and iTunes and all that good stuff. And I'll put a link below. And what's been fun about the album is just seeing people dancing to it and having a good time. And I definitely had a lot of fears and insecurity around putting it out because it was something that was so personal to me. But at the end of the day, I didn't want it to be personal. I wanted it to be, you know, it's the Everybody Band. I want it to be about everyone. I want everyone to have a connection to it. Anyone that feels connected to the music, it's like we're all part of this together. So to see people posting on Instagram, like there was this one woman who was dancing with her, like, you know, infant baby and dancing along to the song, and just like kind of just made my day. So I was really grateful for that. And it's been an interesting week. A lot of different things going on. Had the parents in town, got to see them. First time they came to visit Colorado. But one of the things that was interesting is last week was my birthday. My birthday was on Wednesday. And, you know, birthday's always weird for me. And I appreciate them, but I've noticed there's a lot of pressure. And I will speak for myself. I'm trying not to speak for the collective we as much. There's a benefit to speaking for the collective we, but one thing I've noticed is, and maybe this is just some people, but I have this tendency to say, like, we do things when I don't want to be responsible for my own feelings. It's easier to say, oh, you know, we tend to, it's like, you ever hear those statements like, yeah, you know, we tend to hide how we feel because we want to be a man. It's like a man thing. I notice it a lot in, like, my men's groups. People say the we. And I think what it is it feels more comfortable and more safe to speak in the form of we than of I. Because when it's we, it's like we're taking off the blame from ourselves. We're making it about everyone, and we're making it acceptable. We're saying, you know, we tend to do this, which means in this kind of weird, interesting way, it means that it's acceptable. Like, well, we do this as a society, you know, and that way we don't have to be responsible for actually feeling like I do this. It takes a lot more to say I do this, because when we say we're deflecting, you know, and it makes it okay. It makes it acceptable. So I'm going to focus more on the I today, although there are certain places for the we, I think, and I'll talk about that as well. One thing I noticed, though, because birthdays can be this kind of weird, pressured thing for me, I didn't realize I still had that. And what's funny about Facebook is people who you haven't spoken to in a bajillion years, they reach out and they're like, oh, happy birthday. And they just posting you all, happy birthday, hope it's good, happy birthday. And what happened to me was I woke up and I put the album out. I was really excited about it, excited to get like responses, see what people felt. Like I just wanted to share the music with everybody. And it was also my birthday. So it was kind of this like time of, you know, okay, excitement, birthday, but also like, it's just another day. And why do we put pressure on this day? There you go. Why do we, you know, why do I put pressure on this day when it's just another day? And I, you know, friends are reaching out through text and calling and family. And it was really sweet to get to talk to people and kind of connect. But what I noticed was all of a sudden, so we lost our power, and we lost our power for about 6 hours, from like 11 to 5. And I had, you know, still had some semblance of internet on my phone, but no one was reaching out. Like I wasn't getting any Facebook updates. I wasn't really getting any, nothing on my album, nothing on my birthday, nothing on the Instagram. And I was just kind of feeling down, like, what's going on? Like, do people just not like it? Does nobody care about me? All these stupid stories are running through my head. Like, the things that I thought that I didn't care about, they were still in there. Those stories were still, like, running through, because I apparently have this attachment to my birthday still. So these things are running through my head, and the internet isn't really working, and all this stuff is going on, no power, and I just kind of had to sit with it and really feel into it. And what I realized was, yes, I still had these stories in my head that, you know, even though birthday, Facebook, happy birthday things are kind of generic and like I just find them silly and like they don't really give any weight because people just see that, oh, it's so-and-so's birthday and say happy birthday and like happy birthday. Even though it's generic and the people that really cared like actually called me and reached out, I still had that pressure and there's still a piece of me that the boy inside that still wants that kind of like love. So I was able to see that. And then, of course, later on, I found that, as it turned out, that day, Instagram and Facebook had some gigantic bug and, like, shut down and was not working. So it's just funny how we can create these stories in our head, and they can be totally different. So people weren't even seeing the updates. They weren't even seeing the album. And I was like, that's kind of a funny sign. I need to just, like, release all attachment from this. So the main reason I wanted to jump on here today is to talk about... and something I've talked a bit about before, but talk about the importance of honesty. And I've been going through a lot of changes recently, and there's some things that I can talk about right now, and there's some things that I cannot talk about. So I want to kind of like give you a bit of a breakdown of where I'm at and why I feel inspired by this. So in July, I decided to, I call it retired from smoking weed and just kind of like cut out drugs in my life and just try to focus on living this natural life. I did not say I was just going to be this sober person. But, you know, I realized that I'd been smoking too much. Moving to Colorado, it's legal. And I was using it as a crutch and as an outlet. And I was just, like, not really enjoying it. And I would have moments where I would enjoy it. And then, you know, I would just... felt like I was using it as this escape at night. And it was just kind of detracting me from my life. And I was being kind of internalized and all this stuff. And it wasn't fun. So I decided to completely stop it. And I realized that, you know, I've gone through a lot of changes since then. I haven't had a chance to talk about them and just haven't really... been able to wrap my head around like what's been going on with me until very recently. So I want to give you a bit of a breakdown. So after I stopped, I spent a few months without doing anything at all. And it was challenging in some ways, but it also wasn't that bad. I definitely saw myself like, oh, you know, it'd be nice to smoke right now, or wouldn't this be a great time? But I was also really appreciating and really enjoying just like not doing it at all. So that was definitely like a piece of me that was like, okay, this is actually pretty cool. And I started to feel like some joy coming back and creativity and things that I hadn't experienced in a while without, you know, having this sort of crutch and just smoking. I'm not saying I'm not a creative person, but I found that at night I would smoke and then be like, okay, now I'm going to play guitar and do all these things. So around that time I went to this, talk with this guy, Paul Stamets, and Paul Stamets was talking about all these amazing... He's this... If you don't know who he is, check him out. Paul Stamets. He's this, like, brilliant mycologist. So he knows everything about mushrooms. He has single-handedly figured out how to, like, save the honeybees using mushrooms, like something no one's ever done before. He figured out this formula to use mushrooms to cure the honeybees, because almost all honeybees, which pollinate pretty much most of our fruit, and without them we would have very little fruit and be very sad, and I love fruit, and that would be very, very sad. And without, they all pretty much have this, like, potential for this disease. They're all infected by something, and there was no cure until he figured out how to use mushrooms to cure. So he talks about just the magic of mushrooms, and he also talks about magic mushrooms. And one thing he discovered was there's this stacking formula, and I had heard about it a bit on, like, he did a whole thing on Joe Rogan, and you know, there's a lot of information coming up about hallucinogenics and about healing, and I've definitely experimented with hallucinogenics throughout my years, and I've talked a bit about that. But so when I watched his talk, I was really inspired, because he talked about this stacking formula. And in the formula, you use very, very tiny amount of psilocybin mushrooms, which is the hallucinogenic mushroom. Then you use some niacin, which is a vitamin, and lion's mane mushroom, which is just a mushroom that's ground up that has really good health benefits. And he said if you use this dosage, and it's like, you know, it's, you can kind of like tailor it to your needs, but it's a kind of pretty specific dosage, that it actually can help with PTSD, with depression, with anxiety, with creativity, with energy, and all these different things. And it just got me thinking, and I started meeting friends that were talking about it and interested in it. And even in Denver, actually, right now, the there's this board of people, and I know some of the people on the board that are actually trying to get psilocybin legalized ultimately. And what's been kind of wild is that they just got it on the ballot to be decriminalized. So this May, they're going to be voting, and if it goes through, magic mushrooms will be decriminalized. They won't be legal, like recreational, but they'll be decriminalized in Denver, so people can grow them and basically have them on themselves and not get in trouble. And the reason it's so wild to me is because when I think of the word drug, there's so many connotations with what a drug is. And, you know, there are things that are illegal, there are things that are legal, and we often think of, like, legal drugs good, illegal drugs bad. But over time, I've realized that a lot of legal drugs are definitely not good. A lot of pharmaceutical drugs are, they can be really bad, and they might fix one symptom, but they might cause other symptoms, and they're, you know, modified, and, you know, quant and all these things. And then there are things that just grow out in the natural wild that I think more and more people are becoming aware of, like, oh wow, like these mushrooms grow in the wild. I can, you know, have this mushroom trip and have these profound experiences, and people with PTSD are being healed, and having all these like amazing experiences. Same with, there's a reason marijuana is becoming legal, and I think there are benefits to the marijuana plant. There's a lot of healing benefits to it. But I also think that there is like an addictive element to the high of marijuana, which is why a lot of people are doing CBD, which is that, you know, CBD does not get you high, but it helps with pain, it helps with anxiety and different things like that. And I think for some people the high works, but for some people it doesn't. And I think for me it did work for a long time, but I was just starting to feel really disconnected and wanting to be more kind of pure in that. So I started experimenting around with microdosing about maybe 3 months in from not doing anything. It's not something you want to do every day. It's something you maybe do, you could do a couple times a week or every once in a while. And I was actually really enjoying it. I was taking these very tiny doses, and the idea is to find a dose that you don't actually feel the hallucinogenic purposes. Like that's the ultimate goal, is you don't actually feel it, but it's almost as if it's like the glazing on the donut. Like something about your day, you just have a little bit more energy, you're a little bit more focused, you're a little bit more aware, there's no side effects. And I would have times where I'd take a little bit like too much, and I would feel like a little bit of that, you know, like trippy feeling. It's still a very, very small dosage. A normal dosage of mushrooms might be, you know, around an eighth of mushrooms, or maybe like half of that. But an eighth gives you a pretty strong trip. So you're taking a very, 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 very tiny, tiny, tiny amount of mushrooms mixed with these other things. And niacin is just a vitamin, and it actually gives you this like kind of wild flush where like it just like makes your body feel kind of trippy and weird for a few minutes, and then eventually that goes away, and it helps stimulate brain functioning. Same with the lion's mane mushroom, and just gives you this all in all just like a nice boost to your day. So I was starting to experiment with this and actually really enjoying it, because I was finding that it was just giving me a little bit of that extra something, you know. And I didn't feel like, as it when I was younger and taking like Adderall, it's just like something was weird enough about that. Like to me, this is all taking very, very, very natural things that, you know, are easy to get. Lion's mane and niacin, you can just go to, you know, regular vitamin stores and get those things or buy them online. And then, of course, the mushrooms is something that has been having so much tremendous impact in the world today. And more people are learning about it. And, you know, I've studied a lot about why certain drugs have become illegal, like even LSD. You know, the government was originally testing it to help out a lot of like psychiatric patients and people with depression and all these issues. And there's a lot of amazing work done around that and a lot of positive benefits. But then like the 60s came along and hippies got into it and started taking so much, and it became this whole big problem and kind of went crazy. But the actual like ability of things like mushrooms, there is a lot, I think, still to be tested. And I think a lot more people are starting to actually look into the research of that and starting to say, hey, you know what, like there's something really amazing here. And Paul Stamets is the kind of guy who's into that. So it was interesting, because while this is going on, like, you know, Michael Pollan, if you know who he is, he was really big in the food world for a while. But he's basically an investigative journalist. So when he writes a paper on something or writes a book, he really dives deep into it. He wants to know what it's all about. So when he did a book on building houses, so he built a house. He did a book on cooking and fermentation and food, so he learned how to like cook and really dove into that. And now he recently put out this book about like magic mushrooms and the power of them. So of course he did a bunch of, you know, ayahuasca and magic mushrooms and all these different drugs to kind of understand what they were and his conclusion. And he's a really well-respected guy. He was on Colbert talking about that, and people like know him, respect him. But his conclusion was that there's like some really powerful, amazing drugs out there that might be technically illegal, and he couldn't even share certain information and certain dates, but there are amazing drugs out there that actually can really help people. And I think there's two sides to every drug. And when I speak, like I said, there's certain drugs that are legal and not legal, but I think the truth is, when it comes to things that are hallucinogenic, something like mushrooms that grow naturally in the wild, while it's my belief that that should not be illegal, I get why they are. And I think that like with education, things can change. And I think that people tend to abuse things. It's like guns don't kill people. People kill people. You know, and I think there are people that are uneducated. There are people that are unintelligent. There are people that are irresponsible that get a hold of drugs and they don't do the right things. I've never actually had a bad trip in my life. And I've done tiny microdoses, and I've also done, you know, much bigger trips in my life. And what I found is that as long as I'm smart about it, I control the settings, nothing is going to go bad. It's when people eat too much. It's when people do something stupid and they go to a concert and they just, someone gives them a bag of some drugs and they just eat the drugs and whoo, and they go off and they go crazy. It's like, if you trust yourself and you create the right setting, I think there's something that can be profoundly experienced on these drugs. And for me, it's been very ceremonial too. I don't just eat them. Even with the microdosing, like, it's important to me to, you know, have some sort of little ritual. And I think part of the ritual is like weighing everything out, making sure it's the right dosage, kind of sitting there, appreciating it, thinking about why I'm taking it. Not just like, oh, I'm feeling anxious, I'm going to take it. It's like, no, like, today's going to be this kind of day. Here's what I'm going to create. This is just going to help me enhance things a little bit. And I was even talking to my therapist. I had seen this therapist for a short time, and he's like, you know, like, there's lots of things out there. And he's like, whatever you do or don't do, you need to realize that, like, you know, in moderation, or like, they might have a purpose to help you get somewhere, but like, how do you integrate that into your life? And that's what I appreciate about microdosing versus like doing something bigger. I've done plenty of big trips in my life and I love them, and I think there is something special to that. But now in my life, I feel like more drawn to things like microdosing, because they allow me to not go so far away. When you do a big trip, you kind of go into this whole other dimension. It's great and it's fun and it's wild and it can be up and down and all these things. But then you go back to your life, and when that wears off, you're just back to you. Now, with something's really small, it's just a tiny little nudge, you know? And I think it's like the same reason why people have anxiety and depression. When they take depression medication, it's meant to kind of balance out their mood a little bit. And I think that I would never take depression medication. That's not something that I ever want to do. But I think the idea is it kind of gives you this little bit of a boost to kind of like get you feeling better, get you back on track. And I think the microdosing can work in a similar way. It's not something that is a long-term solution, but if you're feeling down, if you're feeling like you need those little reminders, a little focus in life, you can take a little bit and kind of just like, oh yeah, life is good. But you're not so far out of life and like, oh my God, I'm tripping, I feel amazing. And the next day you're down. You know, it's just such a, there's a full trip is such a gigantic peak. It's like this amazing, you know, in freaking the Disneyland of your mind. And then it's like, where did it all go? It's gone. So it's like too, it takes you too far out oftentimes to be able to like integrate easily. So I started messing around with microdosing, and I did that for maybe a few months. And then went to Spain and, you know, didn't have any drugs and was just kind of doing our thing. And, that was nice. And then I came back and I was watching the show High Maintenance, which is a good show on HBO. It's basically about this guy who's like a weed dealer in New York City. He's just like a chill dude. And he goes around to people, and it's like every episode is different people's lives. So like, he's the only constant in the show, but characters rarely are like repeating. Usually it's like just some random, it could be someone who's like a construction worker in Queens, you know, or it's someone who is a school teacher, you know, in the Bronx or whatever, like these random stories that they get into like really interesting detailed stories about these people's lives. And you get like this little 10-15 minute like vignette of their life. And then it shows how like maybe they call it the weed dealer and he comes over and they use weed because they're, you know, they're depressed or they're struggling with this, or they just want to have fun, whatever it is. And it just shows how people use weed in their daily lives and how it gets delivered to them. And I was watching it and I was like, you know, I kind of miss smoking. So I was like, you know, I'm going to smoke. And it had been 6 months, just a little over 6 months, I had not smoked at all. And I did it, and it was fun, and I remember why I liked it, and I kind of got that like big jolt of energy back, and I'm like, yay, I'm back in it, and here we go. And it was fun, and I was like, you know, this is great. Like, I could just moderate it. I could just be the kind of person who smokes just like every once in a while, when it's like a fun event, or like when I really want to have like that time and that be in that space. So it started out like that, where it's just like, oh yeah, just do it on like a Friday. And for the first few weeks, it was not happening very often. But quickly, I realized that I was all of a sudden starting to smoke almost every night again. And this went on for like a month, month and a half. And I was finding myself more and more like just wanting to smoke at night and getting back in that pattern. And I caught myself and I was like, whoa, dude, like, what are you doing? You know, you tried to get off of this thing and now you're jumping back on it. What's going on? So about a month and a half in or so, I just stopped. I was like, nope, not for me. And throughout this whole time, I hadn't been doing microdosing or anything. So I was like, nope, not for me. Here we go. And again, with drinking, I am someone who drinks a very, very small amount. Drinking is never a problem. So again, I'm not someone who's saying, hey, I'm sober or like follow this lifestyle. I'm still experimenting and figuring out all myself. So I caught myself, and that was very recently, and I stopped, and I think maybe that was about a month ago or so, almost a month ago, where I just stopped. I realized I didn't need that anymore. And yeah, and so now I'm back off, and I haven't done microdosing or anything. I've just been sober aside from a few, you know, occasional like drinks. I'll have like a beer here or like a drink there, but I don't even really enjoy drinking. I found what I like about drinking is the flavor. So the other night I went out with my parents, and they got cocktails, and I just got this coconut fizz. It was a non-alcoholic drink. I'm like, if a restaurant has a menu and there's a drink that's non-alcoholic, I'm probably going to get it if it's delicious, because I like it for deliciousness. And, you know, I'm brewing this huge batch of kombucha right now, and I will drink that, and that will replace any desire for that sort of fizzy, creative taste stuff going on in my mouth. So I wanted to talk to you all about this today because I felt like I talked about my experience of like drugs and kind of deciding to retire from drugs. And ever since I kind of jumped back in for a little bit and then jumped out again, I didn't have a chance to really talk about it because I wasn't really sure how it fit into everything. But I realized that more and more the importance of honesty. And yes, I don't. There's no rule here that I have to share everything in my life, and there are personal details that I'm not going to share about my life here. But I do really want to be as honest as possible, because I know it's important for me to share the things that I'm going through to give you guidance. Because I'm not someone who's coming from the perspective of I've got it figured out. Hey, buy into my lifestyle. And I want to be very, very, very clear about this. I think there are a lot of people who, when they're in the social media world, they're an influencer, they have a brand, whatever it is, they feel like they need to create this very like specific lifestyle and say, hey, follow this lifestyle. Hey, follow these rules. Hey, follow this diet plan. And if you do, you will, you know, be this, 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 look at me. You know, I'm sexy, I'm smart, I'm rich, I'm all these things, I have a great life, like do this and you'll be that. And I don't believe that that is ever the case. I want to be very clear about that, that I don't think there's any one way to live. And if I knew it, you know, if I claim to know it, I just don't feel like that would be authentic. And I'm someone who can't exist in this sort of false world, because the truth is I'm trying to figure it out every day. And is my life amazing? Yes, but it depends on what perspective I'm looking at it from. And that is a key thing here, is that if I'm comparing my life to other people's lives, you know, if I look at someone who's struggling and down and not living their full dream and all these things, I can say, yeah, wow, I'm so grateful that I have this life, and this life has been amazing, and I'm blessed and X, Y, Z, and it's incredible. Now, the problem with that is that there's also the flip side. When I'm looking at other people who seem to have better lives than I do, and I'm comparing myself to someone who, like on Instagram, they're like, oh, they're this, I wish I was doing that, but then I don't always think my life is so great. But when I step out of all that in the comparison, I just realize my life is my life, and it just is what it is. And I'm grateful, and I'm glad that I have passions, and that I'm excited about things, and I'm married to someone I love. But I have hard days. We have extreme. My wife and I go through crazy ups and downs. I'm not pretending we have a perfect marriage. We have it figured out. There's some things that we really have that we love and about each other and our life and our relationship, and that I think are inspiring to people. And there are other things that look at other people's relationships and I'm like, man, that would be nice. You know, how do we work on that? How do we cultivate that more? You know, life is a long freaking journey. And I see people who are just getting into new relationships and they're in that like puppy love phase. And it's like, oh, I remember that was fun. You know, but then I also see the other side of people who are like out of the puppy phase and they're now struggling to figure out what this life means, because once that thing is gone, what is their connection? I'm like, I'm glad I've worked through that. So in life, we're always comparing ourselves to something else. And I think it's really dangerous to idolize anyone and assume that their life is the right life. Like, I can inspire someone to live their life differently, but it's always just in a moment. You know, and I appreciate people listening to this podcast and learning new things about life, but please don't look at me and assume that I have all the answers. Please don't look at me and assume that I've got life figured out, and if that, you know, I just do what he did, if you know, then I'll be good. And it's kind of like in Buddhism, people assume that if they want to be enlightened, they just look at the Buddha and they do what the Buddha does, right? Okay, well, the Buddha has a shaved head. I'm going to shave my head. The Buddha gave up his possessions. He's going to give up my possessions. He, you know, he wore a robe and walked in sandals, so I'm going to get my sandals going on. He ate rice every day. I'm going to eat rice. And he smiled, you know, and waved. So I'm just going to do that, and I'm going to be the Buddha. I'm going to be happy. But the truth is that is the materialistic, superficial side that has nothing to do with anything. You could be as, you know, quote-unquote enlightened as the Buddha and look nothing like the Buddha. You could wear leather jackets and drive a Ferrari and still be enlightened, or you could not. And it doesn't really matter, because it's about you discovering who you are, breaking through all your fear, breaking through all your boundaries, getting to the experience that makes sense to you, and knowing that every day you're going to be expanding and growing and changing. So please don't take what I say to be the end all be all. This is just what I know. And I'm just someone who's committed my life to diving deep into truth, to diving deep into what is real, what is false, and getting clear on those things. And I would be, you know, a liar and a charlatan if I pretended like my life was just great all the time. I talk about this a lot on my channel. I experience anxiety. I experience fear. I use music and food as a tool to help me with that. I'm not perfect, and I don't need to be perfect. I'm not pursuing the art of perfection. I don't know if that's even a real thing. It's just an idea. It's a silly idea that's made up. But like, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I tend to just in general kind of have some social anxiety. When I'm in a room of people, I overthink things. I'm looking, who should I be talking to? Why are other people talking and I'm not talking? Am I being engaging? Am I being honest? I have all these stories that are constantly blurring through my head. And what I've kind of noticed in that is that when I just walk into the situations and I have nothing to do, I get anxious. I'm just not good at sitting around and standing and talking to people in a circle about whatever. You know, I'm good at engaging conversations, and I tend to find people that I can have that conversation with and go for it. And if I'm not feeling engaged by someone, then I just go walk away and do something else. Now, yesterday I had a really nice day. I taught a voice lesson, and it was really interesting because I taught a voice lesson to someone that I actually went to high school with, and Taka Hughes, someone that had made so many wild changes, going from, you know, addiction to like just discovering all these things about himself. And it was just really inspiring to hear about, and he wanted to really tap into his voice. So he signed up for 2 lessons with me, and we had this amazing session yesterday. And I love seeing someone who maybe isn't confident in their voice, and then I take them through these techniques that I developed, and all of a sudden they're like, you feel it. Like, I was surprised by his power and by his passion. I was like, this is amazing. I was like, you're blowing me away. And just a side note, if anyone wants to take any voice lessons, just let me know. youenjoylifemusic@gmail.com. You can send me a message. I do Skype voice lessons. This person was actually out in the West Coast. And it really helped him tap into his voice and awaken his voice in a really wild way. And I did that, and then I went to this voice class that I've been taking. It's this class that was in Boulder. It was a 4-week-long class where we like learned voice techniques, and we sang together, and we just had fun. So we did that, and that was great. And then we went to this after party, and we jammed, and there was food. And I was having some conversations with some people after it, and I noticed that I just felt so relaxed. I just was talking to someone. I was like, wow, like, I didn't say this, but I was just feeling so good and relaxed. And so here I am, just having this amazing awareness. And I realized, yeah, like the things that I say about music for me are true. When I really take the time to step into my body, feel into my voice, I'm not someone who's just awkward and anxious. And I say that I use music as a way to feel whole and complete. And I'm like, you know, I kind of joke around that when I'm not doing music, I'm sort of this bumbling idiot trying to figure things out, overthinking, anxious, stressed, whatever. But when I play and I dance, I feel free. But it's also the after effect. And to me, that's why I consider it like this amazing drug. You know, music is like this really healing drug, and you could say medicine, because after I play, I feel whole. Then I can talk to people. It's not just that I can't talk to people. It's just that I need to take time to actually really connect to myself, to my being, to my power, to be able to really feel that. And I think there are a lot of people out there that are just like, they label themselves as all these things, and they might take medication to help out. And that's why I was using, you know, that's why I was smoking. That's why I was, you know, getting more into microdosing. And again, I'm not saying I'm not going to do those things again. I don't know what I'm going to be called to. I'm not, you know, closing myself off from that. But I was doing these things to get that feeling. But yesterday, I just felt so good, so free, so calm, so present, so confident, because I had allowed myself to get in tune with myself. You know, some people, that might be meditation or working out, whatever it is. And that's why I'm telling you here to find and to figure out what it is for you that makes you feel good. You know, and if you need certain boosts and you need to experiment and try different things, like, that's up to you to be smart and responsible and do your research and do what makes sense. But you need to figure out what works for you. And this is something that works for me. And when I don't do it, it's a very obvious thing. So if I don't, there's only me to blame. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast today. If you would, and you'd like to give me a little, you know, send one of those little review 5-star things on iTunes or on Spotify, that would be freaking amazing. It's really cool to see the audience and everyone here growing, and I love hearing your messages. You can always shoot me a message as well. And I have many, many, many more to come. So let me know what you'd like to hear. Peace out. And there's my wife getting her smoothie going. So it's a good time to end the podcast.